From the newsroom of the Oklahoman, I'm Ben Felder, and this is Oklahoman Unfolded. The Oklahoma City Thunder basketball franchise would like to build an entertainment and dining complex along a strip of land near the Chesapeake Energy Arena that was formerly covered by Interstate 40. The proposal was a response to requests issued by the Oklahoma City Urban Renewal Authority. The proposal is an example of continued development south of the arena, where a new park, convention center, and hotel are all in the works. It highlights a move by many professional sports teams that are making to increase revenue options beyond just the game. But it also could draw some pushback, as the proposal includes a request for tax incentives. Today is Wednesday, April 3rd. Steve Lackmire covers economic development and all things downtown for the Oklahoman. And Steve, first up, what exactly is in this proposal from the Thunder?
Well, it does envision a pretty entertaining activity zone. You know, the Thunder historically had Thunder Alley. It was scaled down when, due to the location of the event, it was on a public street. They couldn't really control who was there and what they were doing, and we had some things get out of hand. Then they moved it to a part of the street and did it mostly before the game, and it's been a moderate success. They quit using the big screen as much as they have been before. Now the streetcar has arrived, and it's making using Reno Avenue as a Thunder Alley area pretty difficult.
Yeah, I was there last week and before a game, and there was a lot of activities in that street, which is blocked off to cars. But members of the transit office and police officers had to walk in front of the streetcar as it was going through there to make sure that no one was getting hit on this street that's closed to traffic except for the streetcar. Now, this proposal from the Thunder, when you look at some of the renderings that were part of your story, I mean, this includes what, restaurants, shops, other services like that?
No, there wouldn't be shops.
There wouldn't be shops.
In the proposal.
Okay.
It would be an entertainment area and with dining, including a mezzanine area.
Okay.
Part of it an enclosed restaurant. One of it would be semi outside. They're also looking for like a covered basketball court that could be enclosed during inclement weather. We have some of that here. And they're looking at it as a year-round venue. People who may be familiar with Texas Live or some of the entertainment zones around other arenas, they know what's possible. Now, I want to caution everybody, this is nowhere close to being a Texas Live,
mm-hmm.
but it would advance us down the road a little bit in terms of having an expanded NBA Thunder presence beyond the arena during the games.
But this would be owned by the Thunder, right?
This would be jointly developed by the Thunder and by Randy Hogan, who developed Lower Bricktown and East Wharf.
Okay. And when you look at Bricktown and the surrounding area, there's plenty of entertainment and dining options already before and after the game, but the team isn't getting, you know, a cut of that money, so to speak. So this would be an opportunity for them to kind of have a little bit more of an economic boost before and after game time.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
And I talked to Randy Hogan about this because, like, Lower Bricktown, they've got plenty of restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
They've got plenty of surface parking across the street, and they want to use part of this land for 70 surface parking spaces. That's not going over well with some of our readers.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I imagine, might be a bit of a public debate, especially as the request for tax increment financing moves through the various review committees, and especially a city council that is about to change quite a bit.
Well, and tell us a little bit about that tax incentive request.
Okay, so TIF is not new to downtown, and they created about a year or two ago a tax increment financing district that covers a lot of what was known as Quarter Shore. It's now being branded as Park Union,
mm-hmm.
In acknowledgement to Scissortail Park and Union Train Station. That's kind of the gem and all that. And there's also a downtown framework that governs use of TIF in that area, which is fairly new. So let's talk about this. This is a stretch of land, as you said. It's in the former I-40 zone. The developers are looking to pay, if I recall right, about $1.2-1.3 million for the land. That's market value. That sounds about right for the stretch we're talking about. I'm not an appraiser, but based on other sales, it sounds right. It's not a overly generous amount, but it's not a sweetheart deal either.
Yeah.
Tax increment financing is what made the Skirvin redevelopment possible. It is doing a lot of heavy lifting with First National being saved and redeveloped. It's been used in the past for downtown area housing, no longer, as housing has become a self-sustaining market. It's been used for the Omni. It's not allowed to be used for any more hotels in that immediate vicinity because of the Omni deal. So those trying to tap into Omni, it's a lot tougher to use TIF now than it was 10 years ago. That having been said, the way TIF works is you take that piece of land. It's got literally no value right now because it was public land and is still public land. It was deeded from ODOT to Irv Renewal in the city. So you would be starting out at ground zero in value. Well, what TIF does is it says, okay, we're going to agree or not agree that if not for TIF, or because of the better purpose, the overall best and highest use of this land, we need to assist with TIF. And that basically takes the growth in increment. So let's say it grows in value from zero to $10 million. This is a $10 million project. It's easy to envision. The property taxes envisioned by that $10 million increase, instead of going to the usual taxing entities, which include schools, libraries, career tech, the city, the county, it goes back into that area for redevelopment purposes. Sometimes it goes into a fund that can be used for other projects. Maybe it will help on public housing, affordable housing, which they're really trying to do, or streets or parks or et cetera, or they can assist in the development like is being requested on this.
You're taking the increase in property tax and you're putting it back towards the development with the supporters of that theory saying, hey, you wouldn't be getting that tax revenue with if it wasn't for this development. There's going to be some people that are going to look at that and say, hey, you've got a professional sports franchise that already has a building that's playing in virtually free. You didn't have to build the building and is doing well financially, now asking for tax incentives. You mentioned the change in the council. What, you know, we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit here, but what do you suspect this the city council, as it's going to be here in a couple of weeks, is going to think about this?
I think that when you look at people like Joe Beth Hammond and James
Cooper,
and with Nikki Nice, you're looking at a council that is going to be far less eager to approve these sort of deals without understanding whether it's really needed and whether this is the highest and best use for that money and whether it moves the needle at all on things they want to see done, which is more affordable housing downtown, walkability, bike-friendly infrastructure, and social services. That's not the case here. And, you know, I had a good talk with Randy Hogan, and a couple of the questions I asked, well, first of all, so you're asking for $1.5 million, and it's involving a couple of restaurants. We don't usually use TIF for restaurants. And an entertainment complex that will benefit the Thunder, and they'd be able to do summer camps and paid events and also provide parking, 70 parking spaces that would be premium spaces, and obviously not for you and me, unless you do have one of those Jack Nicholson seats. And I did not know this. You've done very well for yourself in the Oklahoman.
And the paper provides me with a parking space. So
okay, so we're good.
Not too much loss for me there.
You're not there in the Jack Nicholson seats yet. So that's going to really, I suspect it's going to hit some turbulence. I could be wrong. But the other thing is you're talking about $1.5 million out of a $10 million development. That's a very high percentage. And I'm still delving into the downtown framework guidelines, but there is a density requirement now in that area tied to any TIF requests. As I recall, it's a higher density than what they're talking about, which is basically 1 to 2 stories at best. There is a mezzanine level. I think it's higher. I'll find out for sure by the time I've got my story for tomorrow's paper. Ben, again, I congratulate you on becoming an editor. My story may be a little bit late, so you'll have to forgive me for that.
Already sweet-talking me to try to get stories in late.
Yeah.
Well, that story that you're referring to when you're listening to this is going to be in the Oklahoman, so we know you'll have all the details on that and continue to follow along on this. Finally, you know, no matter where this ends up going, it just kind of shows the continued development of that part of downtown. You know, this strip that was formerly covered by I-40, people may remember several years ago, if you drove through downtown on the highway, you literally almost could reach out and smack the arena, it felt like. That highway is gone. You've got the new park, the new convention center, the new hotel. So, you know, southern downtown, that old Court of Shore area is changing quite a bit these days.
Well, I think everyone's seen the Steel Forest where the convention center and the Omni are being built, and then you've got Scissortail Park. Having some sort of entertainment complex there will be an amazing tie-in. I think it'll happen. Randy Hogan is saying the reason they need the TIFF is because they're looking for an iconic sculpture. They're thinking about a mirror-plated basketball. That'd be like huge and be like an Instagram moment.
Yeah.
I don't think Randy fully understands Instagram from what I heard from him, but that's what they're looking for with the downtown Scotland background. They're talking about the basketball court and a plaza and saying these are a lot of amenities that do not cash flow. Further, they are looking at having a retractable roof, and that would definitely require them to have some assistance in their minds to do that. Now, there's one big reader question, and it's not in the proposal, and I do have the answer. And that is, will there be a big screen to make it truly the Thunder Alley experience that everyone misses from way back when?
And will it?
They're talking about it.
Talking about the big screen.
Yeah, they're trying to make that work.
Yeah.
So that'll be in our story, too.
Well, interesting stuff, and I know just sharing that story on Tuesday, a lot of readers' reaction was, I just want the team to do better on the court before we start talking about senior development. But it'll be interesting to follow. Steve, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Also making news in the Oklahoman, a jury Tuesday found Joe Exotic guilty in a murder-for-hire case that could send him to prison for the rest of his life. Jurors agreed the founder of a private zoo in Wynnewood hired a worker for $3,000 in 2017 to kill his chief critic, and later offered to pay $10,000 to an undercover FBI special agent who was posing as a hitman. The 56-year-old defendant, whose full name is Joseph Allen Maldonado Passage, testified Monday that the new zoo owner, Jeff Lowe, had set him up to get rid of him. That does it for today's episode of Oklahoman Unfolded. I'm Ben Felder. See you Thursday.